You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain all of the activities awareness, whatever you do, how you slowly come out of the meditation, how you arise, how you sit, how every part of your body moves, including the blinking of your eye. Try to develop that mindfulness or awareness to be with it. Everything you do is natural, but when you are mindful, it will move at the speed that is most conducive for you. Okay, now we continue with the sharing. Page 11, last paragraph, is regarding the fourth contemplation. The reality of separation. So earlier on, the Buddha said, the fourth daily contemplation regarding the reality of separation is also very important. Here the Buddha proclaimed, whatever that we think we own, we possess, or we can hold on to dearly, like our loved ones, our prized possession, including our reputation, our title, our whatever wealth, status, property, and other possession, etc., which belief are ours, will one day separate from us. So I said, you may think because you work towards getting them, therefore you get to own them, which is true enough in our society. But you have to understand, before you have, you don't have. Whatever you have, come later. That all this arise because of causes and conditions. Understand? Like the table, the building, everything that you come to perceive, this universe, they come naturally. You don't need a creator to create. And when you understand this, then you know when condition is such, you appear you own. But when condition cease to be, it cease to be. So a very good example is last time the Iraq-Kuwait war. When Iraq decided to conquer Kuwait overnight, central bank all taken over. And the government lost its status. The people also lost everything they have. But luckily, they appealed to the United Nations, the U.S., to lead through the Security Council to actually fight Iraq. Then Iraq lost the war, and they came back. But after they came back, they have to agree to a lot of things that the U.S. and all those allied countries that helped them to fight, not only pay the bill, a lot of their oil projects and all those things they have to give. So all these are the reality. So one moment you may own, next moment something happens, you are no longer the owner. Sometimes your entity lost, your breath stopped, finished. You cannot own anything. Our society say when you die, everything that you own become your. What is it? You have to pass down as your inheritance. Well, nobody can take it anymore. You don't own it anymore. Then there are inheritance law. If you die without a will, then there has a way to distribute. Then depending on what religion, there's also a way to distribute. Then you have a will, it's easier. You can appoint executor, like for Malaysia. Then you can execute to release your whatever property or asset that you have before you die. So these are the conditions. So when you understand, you are not deluded. Okay, then I read on. But all these, like the Buddha said, they are not reliable or dependable because they are all dependent originating conditions arising and causal phenomena. When the causes and conditions are there, it's like you can own them. You can have them. They belong to you. But when the causes and conditions are no more, it will separate from you. Even your own physical form, this human body and mind, behave the same. Because finally, when the breath stops, your entity erased, your identity no more, separation will still occur. Our society say you die. So what is death? Find out who dies, what dies. In actual fact, it's a consciousness that separate from the physical form, that it cannot function as a human being anymore, because death has occurred. So the moment your breath stops, your entity erased, then you can, how can you own anything? How can you have things? That's why all this that you believe you own or possess, they were separate from you. Then the other understanding is, even while you are still alive, healthy, breathing, with all the senses intact, separation can still occur when causes and conditions cease to be. You may still lose them. Take for example your wealth, your prized possession, your loved one, your whatever title and honor, etc. But they are all dependent originating entities. They can still separate from you when conditions cease to be. So separation can happen in the form of losing them during nature's calamity or crisis, like economic crisis and financial crisis, and during period of turmoil, disorder, war, riots, etc. So separation can come about in many ways due to various causes and conditions. Sometimes due to disease leading to death, separation still occurs. Relationship failure leading to divorce can also cause separation. When we contemplate deep into all this, the first four contemplation, you can develop wisdom not to be deluded by what you see, hear, smell, taste, tactile feel and think, believing that all these are real, can be owned, can be possessed, and you can attach clinging grasps onto them. That's how suffering comes to be. When you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, you suffer. So all these are realities of life and existence, and separation is one of them. Not only divorce and relationship failure can lead to separation, sometimes forced separation due to war can also occur. The death of a breadwinner or of a loved one can occur due to accident, critical disease, etc. Can also be very traumatic. Then finally, the most important contemplation is the fifth daily contemplation, where the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. If karma plays such a great role in our life, then what must we do? That is the question. We must take care of our karma. How do we take care of our karma? You must avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. That's how the advice of the Buddha, via Dhammapada verse 183, comes to be. That is how the teachings of the Buddha comes about. So all these are the key, essential Dhamma, important Dhamma. That's why the Buddha said, every day you must contemplate until this understanding goes in, become a part of your stable understanding. Then when you confront them, you will not be afflicted, affected. So life, existence, has its own reality. And when these realities of life and existence arise, if you have the wisdom, then you can confront them without suffering, without any delusion. That's what life is all about. Otherwise, you suffer. Like we morning chanting we chant. All this word that the Buddha used is very important. He said, we are all bound by what? Bound by what? Suffering. Obstructed by suffering. And what are they? We are bound by birth, old age, sickness and death, separation from our loved one. When you are with people whom you don't like, when things don't go your way. In short, it's due to your five aggregates of grasping, born of your delusion, that condition your suffering. So this final summary is very important. Once you understand them, you're free. So all these teachings, they are there. But the only thing that I realize the Buddhist community failed to move it further so that it can be understood clearly to apply it in real life. Not as a theory and a knowledge. Then when the time comes, most people panic, understand not? Develop all the grief, the sorrow, the despair, the sadness. Then they project their thought. So all these are the realities. If you cannot understand the Dhamma, you will go the way of heedless being. You suffer a lot. You panic, you fear, there's a lot of despair, deep unhappiness. Then all this haunts you. Your life is like completely disrupted. Then when you confront them without wisdom and understanding, your life becomes miserable. You look at Lee Kuan Yew, despite his intelligence, success, when the wife separated, it affected him. He knew the wife is responsible for all his success. Almost all. The Cambridge exam, the wife delayed 1 year for him to have the Cambridge scholarship to go. Then only the wife go. So all these are the sacrifice. And because of that, the attachment very strong. The other thing about Lee Kuan Yew is, despite his intelligence and what, actually he read all the religion. That's why he know. But finally, he cannot comprehend the Dhamma. That is where he failed. He tried, actually. He got many people to try to help him understand. But his approach is intelligence on, understand? It's not easy to convince him to meditate. And the other religion, they ask him to believe one, cannot get near him. Because there is no way. Like Po Ching say, they only believe in themselves. Understand? So people like that, they have their karmic past. They have their, what they call, adithan, to come this way. They want to become leaders and all those things. So it depends on what you want in life. Then the willpower is the one that drives all this. If you choose a spiritual path, you will go through the spiritual path. Otherwise, you can aspire to be prime minister, to excel in sports, to be famous in certain fields like music, piano or whatever. Even as a famous poet. Nowadays it's different. People aspire to be rich. And many examples. The wealthy people. So all this is what society can offer. It can evolve and it can create this type of world, this type of era and society. That's why as we go through the decade, we see the transformation, the changes. And this is why our conditioned world is a world of activity that continuously flow in a state of flux, evolving, evolving, evolving. And the only constant is change, understand or not? Leading to impermanence. Because when conditions shift and change and evolve, the nature's law, Paticca Samuppada, they also condition other things to arise and evolve. So this is what can develop wisdom and enable us to understand life deeper. Yeah. Not just like a normal headless living being. Gong gong toa gong gong jia gong gong. See, everything also gone on. Deluded. Delusion behind. Okay. The next section, Manyuan, you continue. Don't need to read 3.3, 3.1, 3.3. Not it. Just go to the next title. Just say next.
Dhammapada, verse 183. Sabbapapasa akaranam kulalasa upasapadam.
This one, I'll aim be to read better.
Sabbapapasa akaranam kulalasa upasampada sacitta pariyodapanam
etang
buddha nasasanam.
Then the English, Mayang read.
Avoid all evil. Do good while cultivating wholesomeness and purify your mind. That's the advice of all Buddhas. These are the three important advice of all Buddhas. From there, the teaching starts. The Buddha explained, to avoid all evil, one must keep the precepts. That's how the precepts, sila and morality were introduced. Minimum five precepts for lay people. Ability to keep these five precepts are crucial because violating them constitute committing major evils. Undertaking the training rules to abstain from breaking these five precepts can protect you from committing major evils or karmic negativities, which can give rise to grave karmic consequences. So, to avoid all evil, you must keep these precepts, and to really keep them, you must train your mind. To undertake the training rule to abstain from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, telling lies, and partaking of any intoxicant or drugs that can bring about karmic downfall. Keeping these five precepts are key requirements to avoid all evil. That's why we need to train our mind in mindfulness awareness to enable us to be aware of our mental intention before we continue to allow it to act out until transgression. Initially, it may be just a simple thought. Then, if you are not aware or not mindful of the evil mental intention within, it can give rise to karmic negativity. You also need to know what constitutes evil. The three evil mind states or roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are the roots of all evil. That's why when you are aware of them, when you understand what constitutes evil, this awareness can prevent you from breaking the precepts. This awareness will see the mental intention that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, especially selfishness, craving, desire, possessiveness, lust, grasping, and clinging, etc., which are mainly the evil root of greed. Then, due to self-delusion, we believe we exist, and when things don't go our way, we get angry. We get emotional. Then hatred, envy, jealousy, and unhappiness, which are the evil roots of hatred, arise. Finally, we have the evil root of delusion, or sakkaya ditti, self-delusion, that conditions your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation to manifest. That's the reason why, without mindfulness and the Dharma understanding of what constitutes evil, you cannot effectively keep your precepts. So the ability to keep the precepts needs mindfulness. That's why the meditation as taught by My Nature is Sati or mindfulness, which is awareness-based and not thought-based. You train yourself to be aware, mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. With this ability, you can avoid all evil to take care of karma. Then karma will take care of your life. No more negative karmic conditioning, meaning no more fruition of these negative actions, speech and thought processes. When we understand this, we can develop the purification of mind, body and action, leading to our ability to avoid all evil. You then need to move on to the next step of cultivation, which is the cultivation of wholesomeness. All evil is to be avoided first. Then cultivate whatever wholesomeness whenever there is condition. This is cultivating kusala karma, wholesome karma, born of wholesome speech, wholesome action, speech and thought processes. To do it, you need to arise the third right effort. Next, cultivating the four right efforts. To avoid all evil, you need to cultivate the first and second right efforts. The first right effort is to abandon whatever negative or wrong thought with negative mental intention that has arisen. It means after you are mindful that the wrong thought, action and speech has arisen, the Buddha taught us five ways to abandon it. It means the right effort to abandon the wrong thought that has arisen so that you will not carry through a condition, it will not carry through to condition you into karmic negativity. Then the second right effort is to prevent the arising of negative thought or mental intention leading to sense restraint. After the first and second right efforts, we need to develop wholesomeness via the third and the fourth right efforts. The third right effort is to cultivate whatever virtue or goodness or kindness that are still not in you, means to cultivate whatever right thought, right speech, right action and right living that are still not in you. Then after that, the fourth right effort is to refine upon whatever right thought, right speech, right action or right livelihood that we have developed. Meaning all the virtual and appropriate good and wholesome mind states, you need to refine upon them until it is perfected. These four right efforts are just the initial training. We also need to cultivate the third and the fourth way to overcome unwholesome thought as taught by the Buddha, which is the meditative approach. The third way is to only maintain awareness, mindfulness, to be with it. Then it will cease because everything is dependent originating and conditioned arising phenomena. If you maintain awareness, it will cease to be. Then you can see clearly that anger was never you, selfishness was never you, envy, jealousy, fear, worry and anxiety, all these mind states, they are never you, for they are all dependent originating and conditioned arising mind states. They arise because of wrong thoughts, conditioned by self-delusion, sakaya ditti. When you see all this in your meditation, you can straighten your views to awaken. That's why sati or mindfulness or awareness is very important. Without sati, you cannot understand all this. You cannot see all this. Then, when you continue to be mindful of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases, you will come to know how upon contact, the respective sense door consciousness comes to be. When you can see all these, you will have the ability to trace the origination factors to understand how anger arises, how fear arises, how does emotion arise, how grasping, clinging and craving arise. When you can see them, you can develop the wisdom to retrospectively reverse its arising via understanding that they are all closely related to our sense experience occurring at the six sense doors. It is normally via the seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness and thought consciousness. The other mind door consciousness of smell, taste and tactile are less potent and not so bad. But the real culprit is seeing, hearing, and thought consciousness. This one stirs your mind a lot, causing you to react to sense experiences and cause duality of likes and dislikes to arise. That's how the evil roots of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experiences come to be. When you can be aware of all these, you will understand how the origination factors come to be. That's why at every moment of sense experience, if you don't have the initial wisdom, uniso manasikara, to attend to it, you cannot cope. It will straight away condition you to react and stir your mind. That's how habitual tendencies can become very powerful and very potent. You become very mechanical and you always act according to your memory from your brain, which holds all your accumulated knowledge, views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, your phobia, your insecurity, your scars of memory, etc. All these are your negative psychological memories and not wisdom. So you are actually acting according to your psychological memories and knowledge born of self-delusion because you lack wisdom and understanding. When you act based on your Sakkaya Ditti or self-delusion, your craving, your desire born of your wrong view will condition your suffering. Seeing and understanding all this is meditation. Then you will understand why you must not act according to memory and why you cannot always go to your thought processes created by your mundane mind with its senses and accumulated knowledge to act, because that way of acting cannot free you. That's why thought-based meditation is doomed. You cannot develop wisdom out of it. You cannot liberate your mind and be free. So this is why awareness-based meditation is so important. Next, wisdom via seeing things as they are. When you are aware, you can see and observe what is clearly. To realize the origination factors of all these emotions when they arise at every moment of sense experience, then from the senses you can trace back to the causes behind. So, to trace the origination factor, we need to inquire, why did you stir your mind? It is because of your wrong view, your lack of Dhamma, understanding, right? When you cannot see things as they are, you will act according to memory, via seeing and perceiving things according to what your memory tells you. You will also act following your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and all your accumulated psychological memories, which includes your phobia, fear, insecurity, sorrow, lamentation, scars of memory, etc. All these will continue to haunt the living being because these are all delusions that condition wrong thoughts. What are wrong thoughts? Thoughts that condition your misery, your suffering, your fear, your worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and insecurity, etc. So, the way to free yourself from all this is to strengthen your will so that you can be at peace with all things. The next time you see something, hear something, or smell something, taste something, or tactilely feel something, or recall through memory something, maybe scars of memory or whatever, inquire, how can you develop the wisdom not to stir your mind, not to create all these movements of mind states that bring about suffering? That is what the Buddha meant by uniso manasikara, wisdom arising at the moment of sense experience. The essential teaching of the Buddha is very clear. He said, we must meditate to see things as they are, to realize the truth, to awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, impermanent, dukkha, suffering, and anatta, non-self or empty nature of existence. The answers are here. To see things as they are, meaning to clearly see their universal characteristics. Then, with the five daily contemplations wisdom developed earlier, you are no longer deluded. This initial wisdom can help you to awaken while understanding this. If they are impermanent, not a permanent, unchanging entity, Then why must I deludedly cling, grasp and hold on to it, while wanting things my way, which is not nature's way? For everything goes the way of nature, just like what the Buddha said. Whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind, which means I cannot argue with the reality, with what is, which is the truth, for what is decides everything. Well, this principle of whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind, is based on nature's law, nature's condition. If you understand this principle, then you have to accept whatever happened. Otherwise, you will suffer while wanting things your way, which is not nature's way. So acceptance is the first understanding needed to free your mind. When you accept, you no longer worry, no longer project your thoughts, because you understand this based on right views and right understanding. When you have right views with regards to the spiritual laws of karma, mind and truth, then you can see things as they are. Understand that the world is the world. Conditions like that, things will be like that. People are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. Then your mind is free. With this wisdom and understanding, the next time when I see them, I no longer label them as evil or good or whatever. I can accept them for what they are via my direct seeing, for things are just the way they are. It can't be otherwise. When I have wisdom to accept and be at peace with all things, which is what is, I do not stir my mind. Then my mind remains peaceful, calm, tranquil and collected. That tranquil mind is my true mind. That there is clarity and mindfulness within to understand all things, all this. When I ask myself, what actually happened? Then I ask myself, what actually happened? How can I resolve all this amicably? What did the Buddha teach? The Buddha taught the fourth noble truth and proclaimed that if you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all sufferings. So this is the solution. If you apply the noble eightfold path teaching to act following the Dharma way instead of the usual habitual way of acting according to memory, then you can resolve all your so-called problems amicably. Acting according to wisdom following the Dharma way is the right way to act. Wisdom means having the embodiments of the noble eightfold path factors and the understanding of the essential Dharma as taught by the Buddha to help you develop the understanding to solve your problems. You develop wisdom to live life while cultivating this unique Dharma code 97. That's the reason why I need to go through with you all this unique Dharma code 97 first. This will enable you all to develop the initial wisdom, Uniso Manasikara, born of the first and second turning of the Four Noble Truths, wisdom. Sutta Maya Panya is the first turning wisdom born of the constant listening to the Sutta, and Citta Maya Panya is the second turning wisdom born of constant contemplation, reflection and inquiry into the Four Noble Truths to stabilize your first turning wisdom. This initial wisdom is very important, for it can spontaneously prompt you at the moment of sense experience, not to deludedly stir your mind. This is possible because with this initial wisdom, you will not go to your memory to act via habitual tendencies like before, thereby protecting you. Hence, no more acting according to memory like before. After that, we have to cultivate Bhavana Maya Panya, the third turning wisdom born of meditative training, purification of mind. To do this, you need to develop the stability of mindfulness leading to samadhi to enable you to see things as they are via direct seeing. Via this direct seeing's awakening, you will understand clearly that you have two minds, the true mind and the mundane mind. How from the pure awareness, the mundane mind arises through its creative process to project into the phenomenal world of consciousness via consciousness. Next, stages of creation and hallmark wisdom of Master Hui Neng. Please look at the four circles chart on the whiteboard to understand the stages of creation. The first circle here, the source is your original nature or your true nature or the oneness nature. From here, the source, the first thing to come out is our pure awareness nature. That's why all of awareness-based meditation training and cultivation is to come to this point to realize the first hallmark wisdom of the sixth patriarch, Master Hui Neng, the state of no thought, Wu Nian De Jing Jie. When you can be here, in this state of pure awareness, you are aware, without any thinking or thought. This is the realization of your true mind, the silent meditative mind. If you cannot be in this state of pure awareness while meditating, you are wasting your time, which means you are developing thought-based meditation instead. Thought-based means your thoughts are actively doing the thought-based meditation, while lots of mental verbalization, chattering, and heedless habitual thinking, born of self-delusion, conditioned by your mental hindrances. When you are here, at the mundane mind, five aggregates of form and mind level, this mundane thinking mind is very active, but you cannot see how all this come about because you lack mindfulness or awareness while here at the mundane mind. This mundane mind arises from here, the pure awareness nature. When you are born into the world, the first thing that comes out is this pure awareness. In the case of a newborn baby, it is capable of direct seeing because of no knowledge, no memory, and no accumulation yet. They can see things as they are. That's why they are very innocent and very cute.
Okay, for those who cannot follow, you turn to page 61 of the last book, Ultimate Realization to Transcend Line, turn to Appendix 9, page 61. The four circle formation, they are all there. Yeah? So you look at that, then you can understand better. Well, this one has been improved by Sui through the use of Canva. So she draw it out very nicely. The first one, original prototype, was very crude. Well, there is no IT assistant to help us draw it properly. So turn to page 61. You look at this one and listen to what Man Yuan read just now. You will be able to understand better. If not, when you go back, look at this one, then you read yourself, you will understand. It's all very clearly explained. Okay? What's the time now? My wife told me. Oh, actually, we can start at 12:15 now. Why? Because 1:30 only come back. You got 1 hour plus. Okay. We continue another few minutes. Next page. Oh, they cook already. Oh, okay. Okay lah. So we break for lunch. Okay. Then we come back and continue. Page 22 onward. Okay. So rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why these three books, very important. You want to understand, you read these three books. Everything very clearly explained. We had those Thursday class sharing, very funny. The condition just arise, all this just manifest. Okay? Yeah.